This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9.
Taking my soak into the masses, writing my poems for the few that look at me, took to me, shook at me, feeling me, singing from heartache, from the pain, taking my message from the veins, speaking my lesson from the brain, seeing the beauty through the...
Wait, I have an idea.
Hadouken!
We did it!
Our game's been saved, but it's dangerous to go alone.
Welcome to Checkpoint, your favourite video game show.
Yes, you are here on Checkpoint on Joy 94.9, your favourite video game show. Joined today by myself, I'm Luke, and I'm here with Rachel.
Huzzah.
I'm here with Jacob as well.
Good afternoon.
Now, into video games though, guys. Now, it's been a massive
huge week.
It's been one of the biggest couple of
the
weeks
week.
In video games.
It's been very overwhelming, hasn't it?
I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah. There's too many options. It's very rare that I come into a situation where I'm like, what do I play? Yeah. What am I going to play next?
Play all the games.
Yeah,
split your personality, split your molecules, and play all the games.
There's just not enough time, though, guys. Nah. That's the problem. And, I mean, it's the Nintendo Switch came out over a week ago now. Can't believe it's been 8 days since the Switch launched. I was there at the midnight launch at Fed Square, which was a lot of fun. I mean, nerds just everywhere, including one hyperactive dancer who was on stage doing all kinds of weird moves. I didn't know that you could dance like that to Mario Brothers, but
now
but he
you
was.
Do, and knowing is half the fun or the battle.
Is it though?
Or is ignorance truly bliss in this instance?
I don't know how I feel about it, but we did get quite a lot of joy watching him do his thing. I think if it was one of those dance routines where if it was choreographed, it would have looked really sick. Because it was just one guy, though, it looked a bit off. You know, one of those?
And you're it needed to be a flash mob.
If it was a flash mob, you know, with, like, costumes and characters from Nintendo, different story, right? But it was just one guy in a T-shirt kind of just doing these moves. And it was, I can't recreate them. You look
power
at me
to
like
him.
Kind of like the lonely girl at the club just dancing away by herself.
Yeah, it's like a Robin song. It's, just like, it's not okay. But look, the Switch came out. We had, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn come out. We had Ghost Recon Wildlands come out. We've had Ridiculousness coming out. It's just been game after game after game. Nier came out. Nier? Is it Nier? It looks like Nier to me.
We'll just go, Nier came out.
Nier. RPG came out. It's just been hectic. So I don't know how you guys are coping, but I am not coping.
No.
So today on the show, we're talking about Nintendo Switch, the console, our thoughts so far. We've all had time spent with the Switch since it came out, which is cool. So we're going to tell you our thoughts on the console, talk about some of the media attention it's been getting, both positive and negative, and sort of figure that out as well. Also on the show today, it's a double episode, you guys. We're here for 2 hours.
2 whole hours.
2 hours. It's the best, because we weren't here last week because of Mardi Gras. And we're not here
to make up for lost time.
And we're not here next week because the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. So today, it's 2 hours to really just cram it full of amazing content. So we've got so many reviews for you. Check out this list. Super Bomberman R, Atliophyrus, The Alchemist and the Mysterious Journey, Zelda Breath of the Wild, Torment Tides of Numenera, Ghost Recon Wildlands, and Horizon Zero Dawn.
It's five.
That's six. You know,
so it's just six, my bad.
Look, counting
this is what, time. This is what coming out of a cold brain does to you.
Math is awkward.
Yeah, we're a gamer. We don't do math.
Nah.
Math's not part of our thing, is it?
We puzzle, but we don't
math. We judge distance so that you can shoot your arrow far enough, but we don't do math.
Yeah, it's a hand-eye coordination that we're skilled at. Numbers,
but plus, times, multiple. Yeah, it's awkward out there in the mathematical world.
It is. So what I want to ask you guys is, do you have a Nintendo Switch? Are you playing it? What do you think about it? Do you like it? Have you had any problems with it? Because there's been a few reports of some issues as well. So
the
I want to hear.
The Joy-Con connectivity issue?
Yeah, that's one of the issues we're going to talk about today. So, but look, quick segment of what are you playing at the moment, Jacob? What are you playing?
Mix of three things. So I'm still playing Dragon Quest VIII on 3DS. I'm also playing Horizon Zero Dawn because it's amazing. And I've obviously played Atliophyrus.
Yes, exactly.
The Alchemist and the Mysterious Journey.
Yeah, very cool. And your review of that one's later on in the show. And Rachel, what about yourself?
I am playing Zelda Wilderness Survivor. No, it's Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yes. I think a lot of people are playing Zelda at the moment.
Yeah, I've noticed he's kind of like Bear Grylls because I tend to make him shirtless a lot. And I find myself sneaking through the wilds hunting for food.
Well, that should be done shirtless, right?
That's exactly, because if you're going to do it, it's shirtless or nothing.
So, I don't think I've paid enough attention to see whether it's realistic or not with that. Has he got chest hair?
The nipples aren't quite right. Does he have nipples?
He has little nipples, yes.
I don't think they're right, though.
But he doesn't have chest hair, so... I'm sorry, there's no chest hair for you.
But isn't he an elf?
What?
Or something?
Like, technically, he's a Hylian.
Yeah, but the ears, though. Like, he's kind of an elf, right?
Yeah, that's...
In a way.
He's technically an elf.
Like, technically. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm saying he's...
going to say this. He should be hairless for this conversation.
I'm not saying he's like Legolas from Lord of the Rings. I'm just saying, doesn't he... I don't know. Do they not have chest hair, maybe? I don't know. Like, maybe the Hylians don't have chest hair.
They're missing out on a whole target audience without the chest hair. is all I'm going to say.
I think Zelda needs to try and appeal to the male gay target audience to do okay. I think it's fine as it is.
As long as you're not trying to blame his lack of chest hair on 100 years sleep or hibernation sickness.
Shouldn't maybe he be really hairy?
Maybe that's the killer treatment then.
Hibernation sickness for all your electrolysis worries.
Do we think that the great fairy waxed him pre-wake up?
You can't go into a deep sleep with all this hair. It'll just cause trouble.
Got like the hot gel and just like made him really clean for the opening of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's all entirely possible. I
haven't thought about it this much before.
2 seconds beforehand. Hair, makeup.
Category is Zelda. Oh, no. The first one we're going to do is my review of Super Bomberman R. Super Bomberman R is a smart Nintendo Switch launch title, especially given it's only one of very few exclusive retail releases available for the newest console on the market. Taking the classic Bomberman formula and making it accessible on a platform that can be played portably and easily with friends in tabletop mode makes a lot of sense, but the price tag is a little too hefty to recommend it wholeheartedly. For those who haven't played the classic Bomberman formula before, you're on a grid with other players starting in each corner. Using smart placement of bombs, you blow up the debris around you, collect power-ups, and try to be the last bomber standing by taking out your opponents. Its simple one-button gameplay is still fun even to this day, as it's incredibly easy to learn and, at its core, very entertaining. Super Bomberman R ties in the quickfire style of gameplay with over 50 levels in a sort of campaign that's linked together with anime-style cutscenes. These missions can be played cooperatively with a friend, and the boss battles and other mini-objectives do enough to change the formula and make things interesting, although the experience is over quite quickly. What will keep you coming back is the multiplayer mode, which is designed for either 4 or 8 players to battle it out against one another. If you have the Joy-Con controllers ready to go, this is the way the game should be played. With a range of different power-ups, bomb types, revenge carts, which allow you to try and earn your way back into the game after being blown up, and multiple different maps to play on, it's a lot of chaotic, explosive fun. There are things to unlock, such as character costumes and new levels, but the game is perfectly playable without this fluff, and didn't necessarily have me that much more engaged. The AI opponents in multiplayer also have a ridiculous ability to avoid bomb blasts, so much so that most times we were playing with multiple computer-controlled opponents, they were the last ones standing and ran the clock out. Multiplayer is definitely a better time with human players in the mix instead. Super Bomberman R is a simple package with a quick campaign and multiplayer that suits a party environment. It's a good time filler for sure and is suited to the Nintendo Switch in every way, except for its unreasonable price tag. With a recommended retail price of $89.95, it's charging you a hefty entry cost for a game that was available in a much cheaper form on the Xbox Live over 10 years ago. While simple and strategic is a winning formula, it's difficult to call this a must-have, but certainly will find some value when it inevitably reaches bargain pricing later in the year. Super Bomberman R is available now on the Nintendo Switch, so if you want to give it a go, make sure you give it a crack here on Checkpoint on Joy 94.9.
Want to keep up to date with the latest gaming news, reviews, previews, and more? Check out our website, checkpointgaming.net. That's checkpointgaming.net. Achievement unlocked.
Yes, here on Checkpoint on Joy 94.9, full versions of all our reviews today and all the news and more on the website, checkpointgaming.net. Now, Jacob has got his review ready for us. He's been doing some alchemy, creating some potions and some all kinds of craziness. He has got his review for Atelier Theris, The Alchemist and the Mysterious Journey.
The Atelier franchise has been around for 20 years as of 2017. I was exposed to it some 11 years ago with the Atelier Iris trilogy, but haven't really had a chance to get to know the new generation of titles. I was excited to see just how much this series had evolved through the lens of Atelier Theris, The Alchemist and the Mysterious Journey, and found a whole new world through its eyes. Theris Mistlud is a young girl who dreams of the world outside. After some life-changing events, her curiosity isn't sated until she tries alchemy for herself, and after proving her talent for it to the village elder, is presented with her quest to become a fully certified alchemist. The time management system of previous games has reappeared in Atelier Theris and will guide you at first. You were basically given a year to get Firis through her trial before being able to enjoy everything at your own pace. While this generates a certain urgency, it's not my preferred method of play, and being forced into a very linear playstyle raised my hackles to begin with. You are given a taste of this in the introductory part of the game to get used to it. The world of Atlia Firis, The Alchemist and the Mysterious Journey is beautiful, and the more open world style complements the game in both name and scope. Your Atlia is mobile in this game, and can be set up wherever you find a campfire. It can also be customised to your liking. These changes lend a certain freedom to the game, as earlier iterations saw you having to return to a base in order to use your alchemy pot, which didn't change in appearance. I love how the alchemy system has developed. Instead of just having a standard synthesis, where A plus B equals C, you can make things of varying quality by using higher grade base materials. The puzzle-like minigame introduced in Atlia Sophie that allows you to do so has great flexibility, and the perks of getting it right are also great, especially if the desired item has multiple precursor steps. What has been added in this game are the additional effects of items that are unlocked by using ingredients of the same colour. I found that the inevitable fetch quests are spiced up a bit as a result of this system, which isn't an easy challenge to overcome for developers. You gather various items from mineral and vegetable nodes across the world, which can offer you different items based upon how you harvest them and what time of day it is. For example, breaking a rock with your staff versus blowing it up with a bomb yield different items. Combat hasn't changed much since the earlier days of the Atlia franchise. You are able to take four people into battle with you at any one time in this iteration, and the order of attack is shown on the right-hand side of the screen. You can affect the order with certain actions, and exploiting an enemy's weaknesses can result in them skipping a turn. After deciding which actions to take, they are performed in sequence and can sometimes increase overall linkage rate, resulting in a more powerful attack. After being away from this series for quite some time, it was a pleasure to fall in love with it all over again. While not a true open world title, this game shows off just how far Gust could take the next installation with minimal changes to the core gameplay. The alchemy system is gunning ahead and is great for experimentation, which is everything it should be. The characters are lovable and mostly sweet, although I do feel that the main protagonist in this one can be a bit too vulnerable at times. Regardless of this, the overall mix is a success, and for anyone looking to indulge in a niche JRPG, I highly recommend Atlia Firis, The Alchemist and the Mysterious Journey.
Thank you very much, Jacob. Now, I've been a fan of the Atlia series, as you have, for like a long time. 20 years, I can't believe it's been that long.
20 years. First one was brought out in 1997.
That's insane. And I just love how it's evolved so much and still going strong. And if anything, it's kind of come back into the limelight a little bit more recently as well. There are a few, we didn't even get a few of them because Japan got extra ones.
And like, doing a bit of extra research into this, it's amazing to see how many we don't get over here.
Yeah. So anyway, if you do want to check it out, the alchemy is really cool. If you like that element of RPGs in the past, this is a game built around it in a really good way. So check it out, Atlia Firis, The Alchemist and the Mysterious Journey. It is available now. Now, guys, we are here to talk about a very large thing that happened last week. Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
It was very hyped. We even played the Imagine Dragons song Believer at the top of the show, which was used in the Super Bowl ad campaign for the Switch, which is a very clever choice, I have to say. We've had a message in about this one already from Scott, who actually went and got us on launch day to pick up the Switch and Breath of the Wild Special Edition. Said the box was enormous but lovely, and he's loving it. Swapping between the two, portable and the TV, works beautifully. The non-gamer boyfriend has even sat himself down to watch him play, as it is so pretty. And he's had a couple of issues with the console as well, which we'll talk about later. But overall, Rachel, you've got a Switch.
I do.
And Jacob, there's a Switch in your household as well.
There is.
And I got one on launch night as well, which I already said. What do you think? What do you love about it? What do you not like about it so far?
It's so pretty. Look, I mean, I'm very much in love with my Switch.
Yeah.
And I treat it like the precious, beautiful console that it is.
Yeah.
And I went searching high and low to make sure I could get neon.
You wanted the neon one.
I did want the neon. Yeah. For two facts, it looks really pretty. It's very smart in the red and the blue. And two, blue left, red right.
Ah, that helps you remember.
It does, actually. Well, because
plus it complements your beautiful purple hair.
Thank you.
Stop it, you guys.
You guys. Now, Jacob, you're more of an observer, really.
I've been forced to be a bit of a backseat gamer as far as the Switch is concerned. Well, I shouldn't say forced. It was quite obvious he was going to take the forefront with it. but it's genuinely impressed me, and not only for the fact that it operates so well at home, but the fact that I have seen at least 10 to 20 people at various events outside of the home with the tablet with them at card events and stuff, like,
yeah.
And people are genuinely enjoying it.
See, I want to do that, but one, I'm waiting on my protective travel case, and two, I'm somewhat concerned that being a girl traveling on my own on transport, taking it with me, like, I wouldn't want to pull it out on a train.
Depends on the train line, I suppose, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, you know, I'm concerned.
It's an understandable risk, though, when you're having a piece of technology, because this isn't just like a screen that's part of the console. Like, you're literally carrying around a machine that's, you know, $470.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like a $470 console, and I don't want to just pull out, like, because essentially it's the console, you know, the rest of it at home is the dock.
Yeah.
And I don't want to pull out my $470 console on a train.
Yeah.
And potentially get it nicked.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't used it on the train, mostly because my train ride is not really long enough to justify it. Also, I'm big and hairy, so people wouldn't approach me anyway. But
see, I'm not big and hairy.
I'll just travel with you, babe.
Oh, thank you.
I'll be your bodyguard.
He'll give you some.
I'm not going to flick my hair onto her. That's weird. That's a weird motion you were just
doing.
But,
I mean, I'd take it with me if I was traveling in a car and going somewhere that way. I would totally take my Switch with
me. So do you feel like it has to have a particular safety boundary for you to feel confident to take it outside the house?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I've taken it to work, and I played on my lunch breaks.
He has taken it to work.
Yes. Jacob saw me the day after I got it. I brought it in. I was like, look what I've got. And I had it with me. And I was like, look at this. And before I knew it, it was like 20 minutes, and I was like, I have to stop. I have to do actual work. But it's been great on my lunch breaks as well, like sitting in the break area and playing the Switch for half an hour, you know, doing a couple of Zelda missions and dungeons and stuff. It's like, this is really cool. And everyone that's seen me with it has been like, oh my God, is that the new Switch? It's like, yeah, it is. And they all come and have a look, and I show them, and I give them the controls, and I take it off, and I show them how the Joy-Cons work separately, and even played a couple of rounds of Bomberman with some people at work just to show them how it was. And everyone is just so impressed. You know, everyone looks at it and goes, that's amazing. And one person said, you know what? I didn't think it was going to be that cool, but I have to buy one now, because that's like Zelda on it looks incredible.
Yeah. And you know that whole concept of what the Switch has been able to do that no console has done before is be able to actually bring to an outside space your home experience.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing for me that it has done surprisingly incredibly well.
Yeah. And, of course, I'm far more comfortable on my couch with a big TV in front of me. Obviously, that's my preferred way to play. However, it really works so well portably, better than I was expecting. Yeah, the battery life is an issue that I have with it. It lasted me probably about 2.5 hours playing Zelda. And that's not a long time. You know, that's
not for a gamer.
No, it's not. And, yeah, I can get a charger separately.
Yeah,
but
do you want to have to fork out for extra accessories?
Well, no. So I can take the one that I've got it plugged in at on my TV, but then I've got to unplug it all the time, plug it back in. It's behind my cabinet. You know, this isn't really that part of it isn't smartly designed. I sort of wish it had another charger that came with it, just the USB part at least.
So that you
could
charge the
can charge it on the go easily. The fact that you have to buy an additional charger or take the one that's plugged into your TV into the actual dock at home, that's irritating.
But if you buy the Pro Controller, you do get a USB charger.
Right. And it charges the console as well?
It is the same thing.
Right, USB-C
like the same
or whatever.
USB-C.
Yeah.
So theoretically, I believe you could charge the console with it.
It's sort of, to a lesser extent, it reminds me of when they started selling the new 3DS without the actual charger.
Yeah, without the charger.
Yeah.
And they charged extra for it, you know?
That?
And we're over that now. That was a few years ago now. Don't get me wrong.
We've all moved on except
have
for
we?
Maybe Jacob.
Have we? Because I was late to the whole new 3DS party and I was
It
like,
was really annoying.
Oh,
though.
That's how they're playing
Some
things
of us
these
have
days.
Moved on.
Hey, listen! Want to keep up to date with the latest gaming news, reviews, previews, and more? Check out our website, checkpointgaming.net. That's checkpointgaming.net. Achievement unlocked.
Yes, here on Checkpoint on Joy 94.9. Today, talking about all things Nintendo Switch in our special 2-hour bumper edition of Checkpoint. Before we get stuck back into the conversation, we've got one big review from the Switch. It's arguably one of the biggest console launch titles in history. I'm talking about The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Describing The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild in a way that properly impresses upon you the scope, the artistry, the wonderment, and the beating heart that is presented from Nintendo is an incredibly difficult task. Arguably one of the most anticipated releases in gaming history, the weight on the shoulders to be able to merely achieve expectations is one thing, but to exceed those lofty expectations in almost every single way? Now that would be truly amazing. But Breath of the Wild does it, constantly reminding you that there are secrets at every turn, mysteries to uncover, and a gigantic, glorious world like no other to explore. It could quite possibly be the best Zelda game ever created. It's made abundantly clear in Breath of the Wild that survival is key, not just in a combat sense. Once completing the more simple tutorial section in the Grand Plateau, the huge, and I really do mean huge, open world reveals itself. With long winding roads, massive forests, and far-reaching mountains filling the landscape, I've seen many open worlds before claim that you can go anywhere, but with Link's ability to climb, I've yet to come across anywhere that I have been unable to visit. It truly does feel like everywhere I go is completely my choice. More than that, the world is filled with things to do, including secrets and surprises that you won't expect. To spoil them here would be to spoil part of the experience when you go out exploring on your own. What I can tell you is that I was genuinely overwhelmed with just how much I was able to uncover without a specific goal in mind other than to see what I can discover. As you become more comfortable with your abilities, Hyrule becomes a playground of hidden treasure chests, shrines, and challenging enemies and special bonuses that make even the smallest play session feel very rewarding. This is all tied together by the Sheikah Slate, a multi-purpose tool for Link that gives him additional abilities that are crucial to completing your quest. It works as a map that you can use to highlight points of interest and fast travel, but the opening of the game gets you completing shrines to be able to really unlock its true potential. Soon enough, you can use the abilities to put objects into stasis, magnetize metallics, throw bombs, and cause ice to protrude out of any body of water. It's here that the true genius of the game design shines through, as these abilities are repeatedly put to the test in different ways. Not only in the over 100 shrines that are littered throughout the world, but in the devilishly tricky dungeons you'll encounter. I have to talk about the shrines, because they're my newest addiction. Found throughout the world, they act as a big puzzle room and combat challenges, absolutely perfect for a short gaming burst, and essential in making Link stronger with more hearts and stamina. To call them optional would be short-sighted. Along with being important to progress, they share in some of my favourite Breath of the Wild moments so far. Despite adventuring and uncovering magical mysteries being at its core, I can't discount the other complex gameplay features in this wonderful package. Combat starts off simple enough with a bit of hack and slash, but then evolves into a system that's to be taken very seriously. It's not Dark Souls level of difficult or anything like that, especially with the super generous autosave function, but if you let your guard down, this game can and will kick your ass. Whenever I took my foot off the accelerator and went nonchalantly against a new enemy type, foes surprised me with their defensive capabilities and their quick responses to my missteps. Dodging and jumping out of the way is important, especially when weapons so easily break and disappear. That's the beauty of the entire experience. Nothing is handed to you on a silver platter. Everything feels organic, from the bosses you encounter, the shrines you stumble across, and the world at your oyster. Towers unlock a region on the map, but it doesn't show you specific objectives or points of interest. It merely gives you a rough outline of the land, and the rest is up to you. Being on top of these towers gives you the opportunity to visually take in your surroundings and tag things that are striking to you, which you can then glide on down to from the high vantage point. I can't think of a more detailed adventure experience than The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Many games try to do too many things and end up a master of none, but incredibly, this feels like a master of all of them. Nintendo have managed to inspire in me a feeling that I haven't experienced since playing Ocarina of Time as a child. A feeling of fantasy, mystery, uncovering memorable moments that are mine to keep, and trading tales with my friends. It is the true essence of what makes video games so special, captured here in a game that I have played for many hours and will continue to play for 100 more. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is, simply put, a masterpiece. And it's available now, guys, for the Nintendo Switch.
You fanboy, you.
Well, it's hard not to be a fanboy.
No, I agree.
When the game is so well made.
I do agree.
It's just amazing.
And I think you are right in the fact that the only thing you can pitfall is durability. Sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, weapons do tend to break really easily, which is sort of annoying. But, I mean, once you realise that there's so many weapons and you start increasing your inventory and stuff, it doesn't become as much of an issue, which is really good. So, anyway, look, you guys, Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, arguably one of the best video games of all time. People are loving it. It's reviewing really, really strongly across the board. That's available now for the Nintendo Switch. Now, talking more about the Switch and the launch and how it's gone so far. A few stats for you, right? Firstly, Zelda has a 91% attach rate to the console. So what that means is 91% of people who buy a Switch
have got Zelda.
Have bought Zelda as well, which is interesting. So that's happening. On top of that,
Is that domestic or global?
Global.
Wow.
Global stats, yeah.
91%. I mean, part of that is, of course, there's only really three unique exclusive launch titles for the Switch in retail. And Zelda is a huge franchise. Like, if you buy a Nintendo console on launch day, you are buying Zelda. You are the same audience.
Yeah, it's pretty much the game to get.
It's the game you have to have. And on top of that as well, though, I mean, the first two-day sales of Nintendo Switch worldwide exceeded the first two-day sales for any system in Nintendo's history, even the Wii. Now, the Wii was a huge success, huge seller. The Switch has done better in the first 2 days than the Wii did.
There's a reason for that, because the Switch is wonderful.
Well, it bodes well. I mean, we've got people on the show, like Archer, who say things like, Nintendo should just do software only. They shouldn't do hardware. You know, they should just cash it all in, put Mario on the Xbox, put Zelda on the PlayStation. Who cares, right? They'll make money from it. They should just stop doing what they're doing. Mm. But then you see stats like this, and you're like, well, actually, no.
Look, I think if the Switch had bombed, that's probably what would have happened.
As an indicator.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm so, so glad that it didn't. I'm sorry, but I'm so glad that the Switch
don't be
just
sorry.
Boomed the way that it did.
You should be sorry.
Never be sorry.
But also, Nintendo stock is up 8% after the launch of the Switch, which is good as well. It did drop a little bit earlier in the year.
Should have bought in.
I mean, it's funny, though, because, I mean, if the Nintendo Switch had launched without Zelda,
it wouldn't have done as well.
The importance of having a strong launch title
had
exclusively.
Had it launched with Mario Odyssey?
But
maybe. Yeah, maybe. But not as big as Zelda. I mean, yeah. Zelda's anticipation levels, it's been a long time between drinks for Zelda fans, you know. And I think that for so many people, Mario is amazing. We love Mario, right? We love Mario 64 and Mario Galaxy. Like, it's great.
However, it's a similar recipe every time.
Yeah.
You know, personally speaking, with Breath of the Wild, I love the fact that the art style has gone back to similar to Wind Waker, but refined above and beyond Wind Waker. And you're right, this is the most perfect example of an open world game I've come across in ages.
Yeah, I mean, truly, you can do whatever you want. I mean, it's so you can even go and try and fight Ganon in the first hour if you want to do that. You will die.
Yeah.
Of course, one speedrunner has already done it because there's always one that smashes it, you know. But I mean, generally speaking,
there's
that's
just
a
that
bad
one
move.
Guy.
There's one guy. Yeah. Always one guy. But it's done really well. But I do want to talk about some of the issues as well, because even though it's done really well, the media has been focusing a little bit on some of the problems with Nintendo Switch so far.
They love to do that, don't they?
Yeah. Now, Scott messaged this in as well, saying there's a lot of chugginess when there's lots of animations on screen, and the left Joy-Con disconnecting once or twice. Overall, he's pretty pleased, so thanks, Scott, for your message. But the left Joy-Con falling out of sync with the console has been probably the biggest reported issue that I've seen happening.
At least one of.
One of the bigger ones. I haven't had it happen to me, though.
It's the most detrimental to gameplay out of the ones that have been reported so far.
I know. I'd say the screen death is probably the other detrimental one.
You know what? I think the screen of death or whatever, I think that is so small in terms of numbers, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they
that
made a
Joy-Con
video about
big.
It. The Joy-Con one's happening to a lot of people.
Not me.
I haven't had it either. I've played Zelda for over 30 hours, and I've played other games as well, and I've had no problems.
Can we just touch wood? Because I feel like the minute I've said
you
not us,
jinx it.
It's ruined.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing. I mean, obviously it's not in everybody, but it's an issue that Nintendo are definitely aware
of. But if you look at it on the scale of how many consoles they have sold and how many people are saying it, if you put that in perspective, it's probably about the same as, you know, the amount of people who get mold on bread every time you buy bread from the supermarket.
Every time.
Every time.
It is like cursed with bread.
No, I'm just saying, in relation.
Again, molds.
It happened yesterday.
Inevitably, you're always going to get that one loaf of bread out of the year that's got like a bit of mold on it.
And you know what? It is, you have to think about it this way. It is a launch console. Yeah. It is the first phase of shipments for this new product. You have to, when you buy a console on launch day, you have to expect there might be an issue or two. You just do. And it sucks the technology works that way, but it's how it's always worked. The first batch of Xbox 360s had the screen of death that came out. The red ring of death. And it happened all the time. And to a point where Microsoft ended up saying, you know what, if it happens, I'll give you a free one back and we're sorry. Like, it was so bad. Everyone got one. It wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when.
When?
I got one.
I got several.
You got several. It happened, you know? And that's because you were an early adopter. So sometimes there's a risk. And you know what? If a Joy-Con every couple of hours dropping out of sync for a couple of seconds is the worst of your problems, I think you're doing okay.
And to be fair, Nintendo have made like some sort of statement recently that they're doing possibly going to do a recall and swap for that Joy-Con. So
they're already taking the right measures to maintain the fan base.
Quite possibly, I'd say, because if it's a design flaw.
Yeah. The other interesting one was the skin.
Yeah, so if you're putting any skins on your console, so making them look pretty, and you take them off, it's taking off, like, the sheen of the console, making
apparently,
it gross.
Like, reading into that a bit more, apparently there's something in the component of the device itself that doesn't play nice.
Oh.
Because it was a manufacturer. Yeah, it was a manufacturer of decorative skins that started picking up on it, first of all, because they were prototyping new skin designs.
Right.
So they found after a couple of goes of this, their controllers were ending up frayed and tattered around the edges.
Yeah. To be fair, if you're going to skin or decal... Oh, wasn't it Decal or something, the name of the company? Anyway, if you're going to decal your Switch and you want to put it on, that's completely up to you. But if you're going to do it and have it there permanently, like put the Zelda one on and leave it, go ahead.
Yeah, because a friend of mine, her daughter got a Switch and she put the Zelda stuff all over it. And I said to her, make sure she doesn't remove it, right? Because just in case. So she told her daughter this and the daughter was like, Mum, why would I remove it?
Why would I
are you talking
ever
about?
Take Zelda off
you know, so I think again, it's a pretty small... I mean, who's put a skin on day one and trying to take it off the next day to test this? You know, it's kind of weird. but look, I guess if you're customising your console, just be careful. The other one people have apparently said, which Nintendo have come back and said, well, actually, we don't think that's happening. people have said their Switch screen is being scratched by the dock. So when they're putting the Switch back into the actual dock, the screen has got some scratches on it, just down the bottom around the edges, not on the actual main part of the screen, but just on these sort of edges there, saying it's got some scratches from a week of kind of back and forth, putting it in, taking it out of the dock.
Well, I put a screen protector on, like, on the first day of that thing, so...
Well, I haven't done that, but it's fine. And again, I don't know, how are they putting it in the dock? Like, are they...
Yeah, that sort of...
Jankily,
are you
like
a violent gamer going... Chink. There, it's in the dock now.
Get in the dock.
Get in the dock. You're too good for your dock.
You make such a good mum. I think
never.
I'm careful putting it in the dock.
Yeah.
This is a really scary conversation to have. I'm really careful and gentle putting my Nintendo Switch.
No, I am with you. I am so protective of that thing. I'm like, you go in your dock.
When I'm putting the Nintendo Switch, nothing else, into its dock, the Switch dock.
Stop saying it.
Dock.
Dock.
Putting it in.
Hermione.
It's fine.
Make sure you subscribe to our podcast to hear all our past episodes. Checkpoint on Joy 94.9, and we'll catch you at the next checkpoint.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.